You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Okay. Everybody ready?
Yeah.
You know, we've been teaching a series on Wednesday nights on just simple series on salvation. Nothing deep, nothing complicated. Not a big theological teaching, you know. Not even necessarily on just the subject of righteousness, in which that's a teaching in itself, and we've done that before, taught a whole series on that. But just took Wednesday nights and just took a little simple approach, a simple angle, a simple point, you know, each night about salvation. And we started out talking about salvation, making it personal. Yes. You know, that John 3:16, everybody can quote that, seems like. You see it at football games, you see it everywhere. But until you make it personal, it doesn't apply. It won't help you. It's not a magic verse. You can't just hold on to it and it saves you. You've got to put yourself in there.
Amen.
For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. You've got to say, well, God so loved me that He gave His only begotten Son for me. And I believe in Him. Therefore, I don't perish. I have everlasting life. Make it personal. You know, David did that. He talked very personally about God. He didn't say the Lord was a shepherd. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. And he didn't stop there. He said, I shall not want. He made a statement of faith based on that fact. You know, so we ought to make statements of faith based on the facts of God's Word. When God says something, then we believe it, then it means something. It means something to me. It means something to you. It means the Lord is my shepherd. It means I shall not want. So we talked about making it personal. Then we talked about being saved by grace, how it wasn't your works, it wasn't anything you did. It's just, and we went through the Scripture, just on Scriptures that talk about, you know, saved by grace. And then we talked about being saved by the new birth. Being born again, what does that mean, you know? To be born of God, to be in the family of God. And went through Scriptures along those lines. And last week we talked about being saved by the blood. Thank God for the blood. Woo! It was because of the blood that was shed for my sins and your sins that you and I are going to go to heaven. We're going to live forever. And so there's many Scriptures that say that talk about the blood. There had to be a death of a pure, sinless person. No one else could be that sinless. No one else could be that holy. We're all born in sin. So somebody had to come down here from somewhere else.
Amen.
And that's what Jesus did. He came out of heaven. And He was born into this earth from heaven. And He was sinless. And He gave His life, sinless life, for your sins and mine. He shed His blood. And we're saved by that blood. Woo! Awesome stuff. Amen? Amen. Tonight I want to teach on just salvation. The word salvation, the word saved, that's an interesting word. It's the Greek word sozo. You pronounce it S-O-Z-O, sozo. You may be thinking, so what? But it's sozo. And it means something. It means more than just eternal life. I think we just apply it to eternal life. And that works, that's fine. It does apply to eternal life. It applies to our sins being forgiven. But it's so much bigger than that. Sozo is so much bigger than just eternal life. So stay with me and run with me, track with me as we go through these Scriptures. And I'll lay a little foundation here first so we're on the same plane here, playing field. Acts, the second chapter, turn there. This is interesting. This is where Peter got up and preached just a short message. 3,000 people got saved. Man, I preached a lot longer than this and didn't get that many saved.
Amen.
But the Holy Ghost fell. It was, you know, the beginning of the church where he started preaching. It was the day of Pentecost, you know, where they came out of the upper room, all filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues. And people accused them of being drunken because the Spirit of God was all over them. And he said, these men aren't drunken as you suppose, but this is that which is spoken of by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God will pour out His Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters will prophesy, and your old men will dream dreams. I'm still prophesying. And upon your handmaidens and servants, I'll pour out my Spirit in those days, they shall prophesy. And he goes on down and he says in the 21st verse, and it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Love that. Gotta love that. I mean, we're living in these days. Are you with me?
Yes.
Where God's pouring out His Spirit. That's another teaching altogether. Not very recently, we taught on the gifts of the Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and speaking in other tongues. And that's definitely for today. It's for the last days. And if it's passed away, then we've gone beyond the last days. And I don't know. I'm looking around and I don't think Jesus came yet. I think He's still coming, don't you?
Yes.
And we didn't miss that, did we? Did Jesus come and I missed it in the last 2,000 years? The history somewhere, somebody forgot to write that down. I don't know, you know. I don't think He's come yet.
Right.
So in the last days, He'll pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. And in the last days, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, we're still getting saved, aren't we?
Amen.
Okay, so we're still living in the last days. In fact, we're probably living in the lastest of the last days. I mean, if you look at it sequentially and line this up, if 2,000 years ago was called the last days, what would be 2,000 years later? That's got to be the last of the last there. I mean, we're closing this thing out. Who knows when? We don't know the day or the hour. But in this last day, these last days, and it's been happening ever since Peter preached this message, no question. Ever since then, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Sozo. Real simple. Call on the name of the Lord. Not complicated. If I were to witness to someone or minister to someone about what it takes to be saved, well, you turn your life over to the Lord. You call on the Lord Jesus. In faith, obviously, it's talking about that. Obviously, you put faith in it. And you're saved by that act. Not by anything you do, but by receiving what He did. You call upon the Lord. You are sozo, you are sozo saved. Okay, I might say it that way, you know. You are so saved, sozo saved. Now look at the 16th chapter of Acts. I'm just going over verses now that have this word saved, translated saved, from sozo, the Greek word sozo. I'm making a point. You'll get it in a minute. At least that's my prayer anyway. I hope you get it. This is interesting because this is where Paul was at Philippi. Remember, Paul was in jail, and then there was an earthquake, and everybody got set free, and the jailer was going to kill himself. Y'all remember that instance? Don't have time to go over, but it's all there. It's in the 16th chapter. And, of course, he stopped him. He said, no, we're all fine. Don't do that. All the chains fell off everybody. And, of course, Paul, you know, calms him down. 30th verse, the 16th chapter. This is Philippi. 30th verse says, and he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Well, that's pretty simple. He's just asking them outright, what do I do? And Paul answers the question. He doesn't give them 15 steps and this long oration of these things the guy's got to do. He says, 31st verse, they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. You and your household. Wow, I love that verse. Actually, I've stood on that verse about as much or more than any verse in the Bible concerning my family and my grandchildren and my family and everybody they hook up with. I believe God's made a way for me and my whole household to be saved. It is God's will that all my children serve God. It's God's will that all my grandchildren serve God. As long as there's breath in my body, that's what I'm believing. And my faith's going to carry on if Jesus tarries even after I go on. Because He's going to honor those prayers even after I leave. I believe that. I'm getting hold of that. I believe God's made a way for me and my whole household to be saved. So, how do you do that? Well, you believe. Everybody say believe.
Believe.
Okay, so if you're explaining to someone, well, how do I be saved? Well, he asked that question. And Paul said very simply, he didn't give them 100 things to do. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus, and you shall be saved. And over in Acts 2:21, it says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So believe on Jesus. Call on Jesus. Call in faith. Call believing. Amen? And you will be sozoed. You will be saved. Now, Romans 10:9. I'm not taking a lot of time here because the meat of this message, I want to get to the meat. I'm trying to get past all these appetizers. Romans 10, these are verses that should be familiar to you as Christians, and many of you could quote these and know where they are, but I want us to look at them because I'm going to bring it all together here in a minute. In Romans 10:9, this classic verse on salvation, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. Saved, sozo, same word, Greek word, not a different word. And all these verses, that's that same Greek word. So it says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, Jesus is Lord, and believe that God has raised Him from the dead, the tomb is empty, you shall be saved. That's believing in a risen Savior, a Jesus that's alive, hallelujah, one that I have called on the name of the Lord and shall be saved, one that I believed on, believe on the Lord Jesus, you shall be saved. Amen? Amen. So it's real simple. It just comes down to that. The 10th verse says, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Wow. Thank God. It's that simple. Anybody want to argue about it? Doesn't matter what persuasion you might be, whether you're Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, Catholic. You know, when it comes down to it, we'd have to all agree that these scriptures say it's real simple, and I believe they would all agree. Most all churches would agree with this, that you're saved by believing on Jesus. I mean, we might have a few little things we throw in there about water baptism or sprinkling or, you know, whatever. But the bottom line is we're going to all agree that Jesus died for our sins. He rose again. That's something that's plain in all Christianity in Christendom.
Yes.
To be very ecumenical here, including all churches and faiths within the Christian faith, then we would point to these scriptures. We'd pull these out. Pastors all around the world bring these scriptures out when they talk about being saved. And we as people that ministering to others, witnessing to others, great scriptures that we could pull out to them and say, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart God raised him dead, you shall be saved. Nobody that I know of would say, you know, give it a shot. You never know what the Lord will do. He might save you, but you know what? He may want you to go to hell. I don't think anybody would say that, do you? I can't picture that. On an altar call, well, the scripture says if you confess Jesus as your Lord, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And I just want to tell you that he might do that, but he might not do that. We just don't know for sure. Who knows what the Lord will do?
Amen.
Are you with me? Okay. I think we're all in agreement that that's exactly what it means. Nothing real deep about it. Real simple. Sozo. Salvation. Hallelujah. Boy, I tell you, that's not a gray area. That's not a wishy-washy prayer there. That's not a scripture that you can just wonder about. You know that scripture's true. Well, you should know all of them are true. But I mean, we'll preach that just like it's true. New concept. Preach the Bible like it's true. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Wow. Look at Ephesians. One more before we make the shift. Ephesians 2. I love this. And I'm in total agreement that if you stand on these scriptures, praise God, and you do what these scriptures say to do, and you really believe on Jesus, you will be saved. You've got God's word on that. That's not International Outreach Church doctrine. That's not First Baptist Church doctrine. That's not Assembly of God doctrine. That's not Lutheran doctrine, Church of Christ doctrine, Catholic doctrine, Methodist doctrine. That's the Bible doctrine. That's in the word. And we believe that in all these churches, and thank God for all these churches. We are pro-church. We have a right to believe that because it's scriptural, it's biblical, it's in there over and over and over. And I'm just going over a few verses. There are many, many verses that say this. I just want to establish a point here and make a foundation to move on. It says here in the Ephesians 2 verse 8, "For by grace you have been saved through faith." Everybody say through faith.
Through faith.
"And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Well, we taught on that. That it wasn't anything you did, it's by grace. But it's through faith. You have to believe. You have to believe on the Lord Jesus. You know, I didn't quote, but over there in Romans 10, the 13th verse says the same thing that Acts 2:21 says. It says, "For whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." It repeats that in Romans 10:13. And here, and that's the same word saved, sozo, also in the Greek. So here it says, "For by grace you have been saved," sozo, "through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Salvation is a gift. All you can do is believe to receive it. There's nothing you can do. It's not of works, lest any man should boast, the next verse says. And the 10th verse says, "For we are his workmanship." This is the work of God. This is not your work. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, that God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Okay. So that's simple. I mean, this is not controversial area. This is not thin ice. I'm not walking on eggshells here. These verses are solid, solid verses in Christendom, in Christianity. We all know that. We all would agree with that. I don't know if anybody argued with that. I've never argued with any preacher of any denomination about that. This is how we're saved. Are you with me? Basically, we may have some other things put in there, but believe it on Jesus paramount. You've got to believe on Jesus to be saved. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. But let's look at this word, sozo. Turn with me to Mark, the 5th chapter. I want to throw something else out here. Since the Bible does it, I think I'll do the same. Just teaching on the Bible. I believe that's a safe thing to do. Amen?
Amen.
Here's an instance. Of course, several things happen here in this chapter, chapter 5, Mark, the 5th chapter. I want to start right here in the 20th verse, we'll start there. And it says, "And he, Jesus, departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis," the 10 cities, Decapolis, "all that Jesus," this is the man that was healed. would depart and begin to tell about how Jesus healed him or set him free. Man is delivered, the demoniac that was delivered at Gadarenes. And it goes on down. Let's skip that verse. And y'all pray for me. 22nd verse. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came to Jesus. Now Jesus had left there, the 21st verse, and he crossed over and he begins to preach. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue, 22nd verse, came, Jairus by name. Okay, well-known guy. I mean, he put his name in there. I think that's significant. You know, sometimes Jesus names people, sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes the writers of the Bible will tell us who that person was, and sometimes it just says a leper, or it just says that, or this man or that man. But when it says like Jairus, then obviously that was a well-known person. If you were reading this back then, you go, oh yeah, Jairus, yeah, he's a ruler of the Jews over there. Blind Bartimaeus, I used to see him by the side of the road. Bartimaeus? See, they knew him. He was known when that name's mentioned. So here's a known man. Now the woman with the issue of blood, we don't know her name. He talks about it a little later. She just came out of the crowd, and you know, probably not a lot of people knew who she was. But if you'd been around here, you'd known Jairus. If you lived over there where Bartimaeus was, you'd have seen him in the streets begging, you know. So it says, and behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet. Boy, that's a sign of submission and worship. And obviously he wasn't one of those that were against Jesus. He must have been for what Jesus was doing. And it says, and he begged him earnestly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come, lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live. I love that. Real simple, simple prayer, and simple faith. Jairus didn't say, come lay your hands on her, and we'll give it a shot, Jesus. And we'll just see what happens. We'll pull that lever and hope it comes up triple nickels. We're going to roll that dice, and we're praying for lucky sevens. No, he didn't say that. He says, you come, you lay your hands on her, and she shall live. She will be healed. She will be healed. Everybody say healed. That's interesting because that's the same word, sozo. That's the very same word, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's the very same word in the Greek. It's not a different word. So that word means more than just eternal life. In fact, that word means deliverance. It means salvation. It means wholeness. It means healing. And it was translated that way in many cases. Now, we just tend to think of salvation in terms of eternal life. And hey, thank God if that were all there was, I'm in line. I want some of it. Praise God. That's enough. But the good news is that's not all there is. And that's not all that word means. And when you call on that name, that's not all you have a right to. And when you believe on that name and you believe in Jesus, just as sure as I can tell you, if you come down here and we believe on Jesus and we call on Jesus and we confess Jesus, you can be saved. We can do that and be healed. That's what my Bible says. There might be a battle, sure. It may not happen right away. You may not see anything happen. But I tell you what, according to God's Word, that's how they got healed in the Bible.
That's right. Amen.
Are you with me? Oh, yeah, but you know, I don't know about that. I mean, I know you can be saved, but you're talking about healing. No, I'm talking about saved. Which means healing. And if you go through the Scriptures in the Bible, and we're looking at one right here, then healing is what Jesus gave, and what we call salvation is what he gave, but salvation is so much more than just eternal life. It's so much more than just forgiveness of sins. Well, let's go on here. Jesus says, well, that's pretty audacious of you. Did he say that? Or when he said, come lay your hands on her, and she will be healed, and she will live. Did he say, well, how do you know that? See, Jesus never questioned it. Well, who do you think you are? Or, who do you think I am, God? Well, he was. Are you with me? So Jesus went with him. Wow. I mean, that's it. I mean, that's the whole, you know, conversation, as far as we have it right here. Jesus just packed up. Let's go. Let's go get her. Praise God. I'll lay hands on her. He didn't say, you know, it may not be God's will for her to be healed. He didn't say, well, you know, this might be a thorn in her flesh. You know, Paul had one. Well, that wasn't sickness anyway. That was persecution. He didn't say, Jairus, don't you know anything about Job?
Wow.
Hello. We're laughing. It's really not funny because these are things that we bring up. But Jesus never brought those things up. In fact, Jesus never even mentioned Job. All the writings about Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, never mentioned Job. Nobody ever mentioned Job in the New Testament except James. He's the only one in the whole New Testament mentioned Job. And he talked about being patient, having perseverance. And it's James that told us to get healed. And he's the only one talked about Job. So it says here, and this is a fascinating story because a couple of things are going on here. This woman, there's a woman who comes in here and actually interrupts Jesus. He's on his way to heal this woman. And you know, he's only got so much healing. He's very limited on how much healing he has.
Wow.
I know oftentimes we don't want to bother him because there's so many other people that need so many more things than we need. But I've never had anybody come to me and say, I'd like to be saved, but I know so many people need to be saved worse than I do.
That's true.
Anybody ever say that? I never heard anybody say that. How silly would that be? I mean, and why would that be so silly? Because God has so much salvation, He could save everybody if they all called on Him.
Amen.
Well, do you think He doesn't have enough healing for everybody? Just got a little bit. Running kind of low right now. Got a healing deficit in heaven, you know.
Wow.
Jesus never said, well, you know, goodness gracious, I know people a lot more sick than you.
No.
Never said that, did He?
No.
I know you want forgiveness, but that little sin you committed, I got people that got some major sins that need forgiveness. I think we'll hold off on forgiving you right now because that's just kind of minor, you know.
No.
First miracle He did, He turned water into wine. Nobody was dying. They were at a wedding feast and ran out of wine. He cares. He cares. Amen. And so He went with her. With him, excuse me. 24th verse. So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. Issue of blood for 12 years. Now you know about this woman with the issue of blood. And thank God there's healing. Amen. Thank God there's a miracle. Thank God there's answers. Praise the Lord. I know people that have issues. But anyway, now this wasn't that. Now a certain woman had an issue or a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. Thank God for physicians. Thank God for doctors. We are four doctors and four physicians. But you know, sometimes they just say things differently than the Bible says. Or with the greatest intention. They mean well. You know, I was thinking about what the doctors are saying. You know, Dave was sharing what the doctors are saying about the lady we prayed for. And of course, the doctors, they're not going to say you're healed. They said, it's gone in remission. You know, and hey, that's okay. I understand their lingo. That's fine. We believe we're healed. Amen.
Yeah.
And so, but in this case, they couldn't help her. You thank God for doctors, but they're not healers. They do what they can. Jesus is a healer. Amen.
That's right.
And it says, she'd spent all that she had, suffered many things, many physicians, spent all that she had, was no better, but rather grew worse. Now see, universal health care wouldn't have helped her. Just thought I'd throw that out. If we all gathered up all of our money and gave her money, she still couldn't have got healed by the doctors. Doctors couldn't have helped her. Are you with me? She had something that couldn't be cured. There's only so much doctors can do, and thank God for what they can. But we kind of think if we just, you know, we are the answer. Somehow we think that we can make everybody healthy and everybody well. Well, only Jesus can do that. We got to get our faith in Him. We got to get our trust in Him. We got to get our faith back in God. I think people are trying to put all their faith in government. And boy, that's a scary thing. Now, thank God for government. We ought to pray for our government. But I think, you know, we just build more hospitals. Well, you know, hospitals have their place, and people get help in hospitals, and we're for that. I rejoice in every new discovery that they have to overcome some disease or whatever. I think that's wonderful. But, you know, we're never going to find the cure for all diseases, and we're never going to find a surgery that's going to fix every chill and ill in the land. There's only one person that can heal all my diseases, and that's God.
Yeah.
And hey, I'm for the doctors, and I'm for medicine, I'm for all that. But just building more hospitals and throwing more money at it, you know, we get our faith in the wrong thing. I think in some cases, you see more miracles here because people trusted God instead of the doctors. Now, don't get me wrong. I'll help you. I'll visit you in the hospital, and goodness, I go to a doctor for checkups, and I'm for all that. Are you with me? But this woman, there's nothing that could have been done. She got worse. When she heard about Jesus, oh, that changes everything. She came. Hello. She came. It's one thing to hear. It's another thing to hear and come. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if I can just touch his clothes, I shall be made whole. Well, sozo. Same word. Same word. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you shall be saved. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in your heart God raised from the dead, you shall be saved. Well, now in this case, specifically, he was talking about being healed. So the way you get healed is the way you get saved. You say, well, I've never experienced that. Well, you probably never came like that. Not to say that in a bad way. We probably never put that kind of faith behind our prayer for healing that we put behind the prayer for salvation. We trusted those scriptures on salvation. We were in doubt about the scriptures on healing. And yet, there is no difference with God. In fact, it's just the same with him to heal or the same with him to save. Doesn't matter. He can do one just like he can do the other. And he did. And we have four books of it where he walked the earth and did just that. Where he forgave people and he healed people. Forgave people and he healed people. And he healed them and he forgave them on the basis of their faith. Amen?
Amen.
So he said, she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment or his clothes, I will be made whole. Boy, she's prophesying her future. She's stepping out in faith. And she puts feet to her prayers. She comes in the press behind him, reaches up and grabs his garment, and healing power or virtue, the Bible says, come out of Jesus into her body, and she felt in her body that she was healed of this plague. Wow. And Jesus turned around and said, who touched me? And the disciples said, Jesus, are you losing it?
That's right. Amen.
Who touched you? I mean, we miss sometimes the sarcasm here. They said, who touched you? Lord, don't you see the multitude thronging you? Jesus, everybody's touching you. But see, somebody touched him in faith.
Praise God.
That's a different kind of touch. That actually gets his attention to make him stop heaven and earth and turn around.
That's good.
When you come in faith, okay? That gets his ear. In fact, there's a lot of people talk about the Lord and so on and so. But boy, when you call on him in faith, did you know you're saved? That's how you get saved. That's what separates you from everybody else. It's all around this great, big, wide, great creation that God made, great world that he made, looking down from heaven. But see, his ear is open to the cry of faith. Anyone, all the billions of people on the earth, anyone cry out to God, call on Jesus right now. Heaven stops. Yay! And rejoicing in heaven, the Bible says, in the presence of the angels of God takes place because one sinner's gotten saved. One person's gone. But faith was the connection. Faith got his ear. That's how we're saved. Well, that's how we get answers to prayer, period. Whatever the prayer may be. Whether it's for healing or whether it's for according to Scripture. Are you with me? So she did this. He turned, he said, who'd done this? And the Bible tells us that she fell down before him, fearing and trembling, and told him the whole story. And that's why we have it here. Because she explained about how she'd been 12 years with this issue of blood. She'd been to these doctors and hadn't got better, rather grew worse. I heard about you, Jesus, and I came down here and oppressed. And there were so many people around you, Jesus. Can you imagine this woman? Goodness gracious. In this state, you know, 12 years having to mess with this, gone to physicians, get her hopes up, boom, boom, just get them broken down again and get her hopes up, boom, broken down again. And now she's run completely out of money, been to all the doctors she could go to, just no hope at all. And man, she hears of Jesus. And hope just springs in her soul. And she says, if I could just get to Jesus.
Amen.
And at some point, it doesn't explain all that here, but, you know, she first heard, and her mind starts clicking, you know, and her spirit starts jumping. At some point, she must have said, I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
I am going to get to Jesus. I hear he's in town. I'm going to get to Jesus. And you know, she steps out on the street, and man, there's a multitude thronging him. And she's not just, you know, she's not in the greatest physical shape. She's in pain. She's got this issue of blood. But that does not deter her. Because of her faith, because of her determination, she sees him, and she overtakes him. She comes up behind him, see. She overtakes him and presses through this crowd. See, we don't always press in. We've got to press in. You've got to press in. Press in. Well, how long do I press in? Till you get to him. You press in till you get to him. See, you don't quit till you get there. And she pressed in and she grabbed that garment. Man, well, I mean, if I could just picture that. Can you see that? I mean, I just, wow, what a clip, video clip.
Amen.
You know, Jesus walking along with his disciples, they're just talking, you know, and all these people around here, and you see this movement back here, and these people kind of pushed aside, and Carla can't see the woman, she's all bent over probably for the pain, you know. She comes in and grabs that garment. Jesus walking like that, he goes, who touched me? I mean, he stopped everything. He wanted to see. Jesus always has time for faith.
Amen.
He's got time for faith. See, in fact, he makes a point of talking about faith. Whatever conversation was going on, hey, we got another sermon going on right now. So he's turned around. He's got another sermon. He's going to preach to these people. She told him the whole story. You know what Jesus says? Amazing thing here. It says here in the 34th verse, and he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you whole or well. King James, I believe, says well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Now, where it says, your faith has made you whole, your faith has made you well, that's sozo. That's sozo. So you might ask, how did that woman get healed?
Faith.
But faith. Now, we could be real religious and spiritual and say, Jesus healed her. Well, I know that. We know that. Jesus saves us. I know that. I mean, I can't save myself. But I have to believe on Jesus to be saved. Isn't that right? Whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. You say, well, wait a minute. Now, Jesus saves you. Well, of course Jesus saves you. I know that. I understand that. But how would I be saved? How can I get a hold of that? Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved.
Amen.
Well, how do I get healed? Well, you want what Scripture says? What Jesus said? Jesus told the woman, your faith hath made you well. Now, there's a lot of speculation about all that, but that's what Jesus said. I think I'll go with Jesus on this deal. How about you?
Amen. Yes, sir.
And so while he's going along, this is what's fascinating, and the story goes on, he's still got Jairus. Now, he's going to his house to pray for his daughter. Well, his daughter dies on the way. I mean, we're talking bad news. That's about as bad as it gets. And they came and tell Jesus. They say, you know, don't trouble the master any further. Talk to Jairus, your daughter's dead. In 36 verse, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. You know what Luke says? Hold your place here. Turn to Luke 8. I love Luke's account on this. Y'all learn anything?
Yes.
Luke, the 8th chapter, same account now. In fact, this account actually is in Matthew, it's in Mark, it's also in Luke. This is Jairus going with Jesus to heal his daughter. Well, now his daughter dies, and we got another problem, you know. But that's no problem for Jesus. Notice what it says in the 50th verse of Luke, the 8th chapter. But when Jesus heard it, this report that the daughter's dead, he answered him saying, do not be afraid, just like Mark says, only believe, just like Mark says, but he adds a little bit here, and says, and she will be made well. Made whole. Wonder what that Greek word is. Anybody got a guess? Make a guess?
So-so.
Okay. So, believing faith in Jesus will cause, in this case, a resurrection from the dead, but a healing, he said healed, or whole, made whole. Believing in Jesus, trusting in Jesus, caused healing to come to this woman that had the issue of blood for 12 years. And that's called sozo. That's the same word, sozo. So whether we're believing him to forgive our sins and save us to go to heaven, or whether we're believing him for healing to be healed, it's still the same. It's by faith, and if we will trust him, he will do that.
Amen.
Because when they, in the Bible, when they got healed, they got healed, according to what Jesus said, they got healed because they believed. Mark 10, turn there real quick. I'd love to just take the whole service on just one account here, But I want to just really drill this in. I want you to see how this is in here over and over and over and over. Praise God. Okay, we talked about old Bartimaeus. Let's talk about old blind Bartimaeus. I don't know why we call him old blind Bartimaeus, because he's old. He was seeing Bartimaeus when he met Jesus. Amen. He ceased to be blind Bartimaeus, and he was seeing Bartimaeus. The 46th verse, 10th chapter of Mark says, "Now they came to Jericho, as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging." Evidently, everybody knew who he was. He was over by the side of the road. "And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, saying, Son of David, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Hallelujah. I love that. Whole teaching on that. I mean, mercy healing is an act of mercy. If mercy is still around today, his mercy endures forever, doesn't it? Well, healing's still around, because healing's an act of mercy. His mercy endures forever, is what the scripture says. And so healing hasn't passed away, because God's mercy has not passed away. And healing is an act of mercy. That's what blind Bartimaeus is wanting, just mercy, mercy, have mercy on me. "And there were many that warned him to be quiet," just like there will be people tell you to be quiet. "But he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me," and that's what you need to do. You know, people say, "Oh, quit that faith stuff, quit that praying stuff, quit that trusting God stuff, quit saying that, oh, come on, stop that, that's just, oh, you know better, and that's ridiculous, that foolishness." You know, the Bible does say in 1 Corinthians 2:14 that this is foolishness. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually understood. The world doesn't understand healing. They don't understand salvation. They don't understand forgiveness. So why would you listen to them anyway? Let's go with the Word. Amen? If you need a miracle, you keep crying out. You keep saying what God says. You keep praying. Everybody's not going to always agree with you. You say, "Well, they think I'm crazy." There's people think you're crazy anyway. There's people thought I was crazy before I accepted Jesus. There's people think I'm crazy after I accepted Jesus. Are you going to make everybody happy? That is never going to happen. Okay. So they try to shut him up, and he says, no, he just kept crying louder. 49th verse, "So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you." I love that, the way they just flip from one thing. You know, the disciples were telling him to be quiet in one account. And now they're saying, "Oh, it's okay. Now you're our best friend. Jesus wants to talk to you." You know. "And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, What do you want me to do for you?" That's a good question. Sometimes we just rattle on. You know, we pray. We don't have any track we're running on. No specific thing we're asking for. We're just talking. "Well, I just don't know what I want." Well, you've got to be specific. The Bible says, "Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock, the door will be opened to you." Jesus said in Mark 11:24, "Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them." Matthew 21:22 says, Jesus said it. He said, "All things that you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive." And here, I mean, obviously, don't you think Jesus knew what he wanted? And we play that game. See, we'll play that same game. "Well, I don't ever ask for anything. God knows what I want." Well, sure he does. "God knows what I need." Well, sure, he knows it, but you see, it's like sitting at the table. You're not getting that butter till you say please. Amen. Don't you think God knows everybody needs to be saved? Why aren't they all saved? Because they don't call.
That's right.
They don't call. I mean, and we say things like that. We'll say, "Well, you know, I just don't pray much. I just, you know, God knows what I need. God knows what I need." Yeah, he does. And he told you to call on him. He told you that. He said, "Call unto me, and I'll answer you. And I'll show you great mighty things which you know not. For everyone that asketh, receiveth," Jesus said. "Everyone that seeketh, findeth. And everyone that knocketh, the door is opened unto them." He didn't say, "For everyone gets whatever God knows they already need. And you don't ever have to pray, and you don't ever have to call, and you don't have to believe. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen, Cap, and nothing you can do about it." He never says that. In fact, he's always saying, "You call." And when people called, he'd stop. He'd stop. In this case, he said, "Now, what is it that you want me to do for you?" Oh, come on now. You know Jesus knew what he wanted. But see, God has set this up to where you need to call on him and you need to believe on him. That's how you're saved. Well, it's the same way with healing. You can't just say, "Well, God will heal me if he wants to." That's like saying he'll save me if he wants to. No one in the Bible got healed that way. These are cases, and we're reading them. Very specific conversations. We hear the words they're saying, the interaction between them and Jesus. And what you see here is people calling on Jesus, asking him to do something, believing him, and Jesus turning right around doing it and telling them their faith was the reason they got it. Wow. Let's read on. Just helping you? So Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said, "Rabboni, I teach," or teacher, rabbi, "that I may receive my sight." Then Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Made you well. Sozo. Now we know that's healing. That wasn't forgiveness of sins. That was healing. Amen. And really, you know, for sake of time, if you write notes, you remember the 10 lepers when the one leper came back? Luke 17 chapter. In fact, the 19th verse. When that one leper came back and praised God, Jesus said, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." Same word, sozo. And again, you remember the man that Paul healed in Acts, the 14th chapter? Paul was preaching, and it says he perceived he had faith to be healed. That word healed is sozo. That we, you know, saved. Confess the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him dead, you shall be saved. Same word. But how do you get that healing? Believe. How do you get saved? Believe. You know, well, would you think he really would save you if you called on him? Well, of course he would. He said he would. If you confess him as Lord and you believe in your heart God raised him dead, you will be saved. Isn't that right? Well, do you think he'll heal me if I call on him? Well, if you do, it says that. Y'all getting this?
Amen.
Acts 14, verse 19, if you're writing notes. Incidentally, he perceived he had faith to be healed. Well, here we know that blind Bartimaeus got healed. And why did he get healed? What did Jesus say? He said his faith made him whole. Wow. So we're sozoed by faith. Whatever that is, whether it's eternal life, whether it's healing, whether it's deliverance, demon possession, whatever, you want to get set free. You want to be saved. You want to be delivered. You want to be preserved. You want to be made whole, made well. Then faith is going to get that for you from Jesus. Hey, one more, we'll close out. Can I do that? Can I close out? No, I don't know. James 5. See, make it simple. Don't get it all. We get it all complicated. You know, it's just really, really simple. I don't know why, but God's just crazy about us. He really is. He loves us. He cares for us. And we make it so hard. We make him out like he's got this huge agenda, you know, that we can never understand. That, you know, he may not want me healed. He may not want me well. He may not, you know, maybe God's got a plan. Well, God doesn't want you to go to hell. That's not simple, hard, is it? I mean, would you ever dream in any scenario in your mind, would you ever think of any reason why God may not want you saved? That he gets more glory out of you going to hell than you going to heaven? Would that be crazy? I mean, I can't even imagine that. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine any preacher telling you that? Well, you know, God may not want you saved. You know, you don't know. He may, you know, I know he saves. But see, in your case, it may be better for you to go to hell. Well, man, I'm telling you what, that's almost heresy. And yet, now, we'll play that same game. Now, hey, let me say this because I'm getting kind of rough and I don't want to sound so rough about this because I believe people that say that are very sincere. And I believe ministers that say that do love their people. They just have been taught wrong. Are you with me? Because the Bible does not teach that. And they sincerely believe that, but they're just sincerely wrong. And they're good people. I mean, there's some good people, good churches, good pastors, and even good Christians. And maybe you've even said it yourself. It doesn't mean you're a bad person. I'm not saying that. I don't want to make a personal indictment on someone. We're just addressing the doctrine. You can't find in the Scripture where Jesus turned people down for healing. You will never find Jesus talking that way. Maybe God doesn't want you healed. Maybe God does. In your case, I can't heal you. Jesus didn't turn anybody down. Nobody. Woo. And everyone that believed received. James 5th chapter. Common verse, we all know it. Notice what it says here in the 14th verse. 5th chapter, 14th verse. Is any sick among you? Well, there you go. Any sick among you? This is a new covenant. It's after Jesus rose from the dead, talking to the church. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. Everybody say save.
Saved.
Anybody have an idea? Just a clue, a shot? What would you think that word would be?
Sozo.
Sozo. That's it. Wow, Michael, that's amazing you knew that. Okay, but the what kind of prayer? Prayer of faith will save the sick.
Amen.
The sick. Wow. It's like I can be healed by faith. Just like I can be forgiven and go to heaven by faith, because the word sozo means all that. It means healing and wholeness and deliverance and salvation, all that stuff. It's all wrapped up in that word. And it was translated that way case after case in many cases here that we've looked at. We've looked at it. You saw these verses yourself. I challenge you, go look it up if you want to. Get you a Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, or get you, you know, Vine's Expository Dictionary, New Testament words, or, you know, get you something that you can go look it up. Don't trust me. Don't take my word for it. Go look it up yourself. You read it just along with me, which I love to use Scripture. That way you're not at my mercy, but you're at God's. Amen. He says, the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he's committed sins, he will be forgiven. Hey, man, you get an overhaul. Get healed and forgiven by faith. The prayer of faith will do that. In the 16th verse, confess your trespasses or faults one to another, and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Hallelujah. Wow. I'm telling you, we need to encourage our faith along these lines. Because I do know that we struggle with these things. Sometimes I struggle with it, you know. But it should not be a struggle. God heals, God forgives. It's all the same to Him. Psalms 103 tells us, bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all those in me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. And the third verse of Psalms 103 says, who forgives all your iniquity? Who heals all your diseases?
Amen.
All of them. Is there any sins He wouldn't forgive? No, He forgives them all. Any sicknesses He won't heal? No, He heals them all. Heals them all. Praise God. If we'll believe.